Are you a pastor or leader who wants to make a difference? Are you willing to commit to the long term in your ministry? Come along on a journey of endurance with Alan and Trent. Welcome to Endure, building churches and leaders that last.
Hello and welcome to the Enduring Churches podcast. I'm Trent Young. I'm here with my good friend Alan Small, and we are both pastors, and we have been at our churches for a long time, been in ministry for an even longer time, and we have a heart to help you to endure in your ministry. And today, Alan, we're going to talk about animals, and specifically coyotes.
That sounds good. I don't have to make coyote sounds, though, do I?
No howling involved today. So, be able to be aware that there may be some coyotes that attack you or sound like they're attacking you at your business, in your church, whatever leadership role you might have. And this one specifically, Alan, I think this is a good topic for not only ministry people, but business people as well. And we want to help you to understand what's really going on and how to respond today.
Absolutely.
You know, criticism is a part of life. Have you ever had a person in your church or even working in business before you were in ministry say to you, you know, there's a lot of people who are saying, and then try to use that as leverage to make you feel guilty to do what they want or to act in a certain way?
Those folks are always around. And so, you know, you call this kind of the coyote principle, and you get this idea sometimes that you're under this heavy attack. But what does it really mean when we think about the coyote principle itself?
Well, this is, for me, this really makes sense because I live in the middle of the country. You know, I've got 40 acres and our house is in the middle of it, and we're surrounded by pastures of thousands of acres. And so I hear coyotes all the time, but there are times at night when the coyotes will just go off and it sounds like there's a whole mess of them, like a huge pack of coyotes. But I did some research about this, and the people who study coyotes and the folks, you know, game wardens and stuff like that, that are out there, they'll tell you that very rarely is there a time when there's more than two or three coyotes, that there's usually just a very small group. And so that is, we want to use that as a principle today as you deal with people that may be questioning things or critical of you in your leadership role, because they will say things like, well, you know, a lot of people are upset, or a lot of people are saying, and you just,
and that's the first warning sign. I mean, when someone says to you, a lot of people are,
yeah,
there needs to be a red flag that goes up and says, whoa, coyote moment.
Yeah. And you need to realize that, okay, well, and this is a good time to begin to ask them, you know, well, tell me exactly, you know, who is it that I can go talk to? Because and be honest about this. Yeah. Hey, I want to hear or be able to talk with these people. And most often they can't give you more than one or two, or even a lot of times they won't give you any name. Well, I can't do that.
I don't want to breach that confidence, you know, which, yeah. They've obviously been talking behind your back, but they don't want to breach any confidences. And you know, there's kind of that when we were planning this, I was kind of thinking of kind of three different types of coyotes too, that you kind of run across. You've always got the ones, they're just really bold, you know, mm-hmm. they're just brave. And so the first sign of something that they don't like, they're going to come storming in, even if they've not talked to anyone. Well, everyone's mad about this. It may just be them, but they're going to try to kind of bold their way in, push their way in, bully their way in. But then you've also kind of got those shyer ones that maybe they're kind of behind the scenes, and they're going to go talk to everyone and let everyone except you know how upset they are about something. And they're just going to try to see what they can do, because they're in hopes that that third kind is going to come out. And that's that bandwagon type of coyote. And that's that one that as soon as someone else has said something, they just want to jump in on it. And, you know, you said that there's typically two to three coyotes together. Well, there you go. There's the three. You've got the bold one, the shy one, and the bandwagon one.
Yeah, and those, you know, the shy ones, they're trying to build up their, gather a pack together. The bandwagon people, they're like, oh, there's a kill, I'll join in. I don't have to do anything, you know. So these are just, I guess they're good ways for you to visualize what's really going on. And we want you to be humble as you think about this and be able to listen, but also be confident. We don't want you to be swayed when that's not what you need to be doing. So
absolutely. You know, what's the approach that you find that these coyotes use the most when they come to you? How do they work?
Well, you know, one of the things I think that happens quite a bit is you'll get like an ambush, right? If you're, you know, 5 minutes before a big meeting, well, they'll come in and they're like, well, you know, this is what I'm mad about, or a lot of people are saying, or a lot of people are upset, and they'll really go after you for that right before a big meeting or right before you're supposed to preach, right? That's hard. You know, people ask you tough questions or they come up with criticism right before you're supposed to preach. And that is a tactic of the enemy trying to get you off your game before you deliver God's word or you lead in a business setting.
They will certainly try that. I think the other one that they like to use a lot is the anonymous letter approach. Have you ever gotten an anonymous letter?
Yes. I tell you, so what do you do with those, Alan? How do you handle that?
So I actually, anytime I have a note, I don't care what it is, positive or negative. I always look to see if anything that is given to me has a name on it. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't have a name, it goes in the trash. It's just something that I've learned over the years. You know, it is not worth dwelling on if someone can't put their name to it. You know, one of the things that cracks me up, I've got someone in my community has got this kind of weird sense of end times, and they will come to our church and, you know, I guess they think they're Martin Luther, and they will tack this letter up on our doors to our church. And I've actually gone out and looked at our security footage, and I don't know this person, but I know their car and everything. And they come and they tape it on my door, and then they go and drive away, and they've never once, you know, signed their name. And, you know, all they don't know, but they're just wasting their time. So if that's you and you're listening today, I don't read it. Put your name on it. And then maybe I'll read what you've got to say.
Right. That's funny. I've never had that happen, Alan, here. So, but if I do, I'll know how to handle that. So anyway,
but when we get attacked verbally in a church, you know, what are some of the ways that you respond to that, Trent?
Well, I think, you know, again, I want to encourage you to be humble, and don't be defensive. Take the opportunity to repeat back to them what you heard. This is a good principle in any type of conversation or relationship. We use this in marriage counseling, but after they've said a few things, don't let them go forever, right? Because they'll try to manipulate your time, but let them go for a little bit and then stop them and say, okay, now let me repeat back to you what I just heard you say. Is this what you meant to say? And sometimes they'll realize how badly they sound, right? And so that's one of the first things that I want to do is repeat back what I heard them say and ask them, is that what you meant? Second thing I think is really important is, you know, don't try to come up with excuses, but you can say to them, and I like to give people, you know, a script to deal with things like this, but say to them, I hear what you're saying and I'll consider it. And that's a great thing, you know?
Absolutely. You can disarm them, or to at least acknowledge that you've heard them and to acknowledge that you understand what they're communicating. Mm-hmm. So that can be very, very important. What about the issue of prayer? Do you find it's helpful to offer to pray with people about that situation?
Yeah, especially in a church setting, if somebody's really upset, prayer can be something that helps people to calm down, to realize that you're willing to pray with them is a great thing. And if they genuinely care about you and the church, they will pray with you. But if they're just trying to manipulate you, then they won't. And you'll be able to weed out and understand what's really going on. You'll see the tactics of the coyotes right at that
right. point. You know, sometimes, and I think it's fair to say that a lot of times, you know, we'll talk about maybe coyotes and it's a short moment, or it's something that they were passionate about and they've been super supportive of your whole ministry. And you've got this one moment. And if you don't handle that one moment, you could lose someone who really is on your side. So you want to be careful with this. And I know there's a fine line where some people cross from kind of just having an issue sometimes to becoming a genuine church bully and becoming a problem within the church. But, you know, as much as you can, give people the benefit of the doubt.
I'm glad you said that, Alan. That is really true, because we do, anytime somebody says something that maybe seems against us or critical of us, we tend to put up our walls and be real defensive. And you're right. Sometimes we just need to listen, because there are times we need to change.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things when we've got this list here of some things that we wanted to say, you know, how should we respond in the moment? You know, we need to reaffirm what they've said. We need to affirm that we've heard them. We need to offer to pray with them. We've got to avoid being defensive. But then there's the aftermath. And I don't know about you, but I can dwell on one of those conversations for a long time. So how do we deal with this sense of criticism when it's kind of thrown at us?
Yeah, that is really tough. I was talking about this to some of my folks at church, something that I have had a hard time letting go that happened to me like 5 years ago. And anytime that I see where that person lives or just brings it up again, and it's hard to get over those things and to be able to just let it go. An offense, you know, being offended by somebody, boy, that's a trap that Satan wants to use, and we've got to be careful of that. So, one of the things I know that you had talked about is, you know, watch out for that bitterness that will grow up in you. But you know, that's, to me, I have to be able to, you know, evaluate it and see if there's something good, you know, like a piece of steak, you know, I want to get the meat, but throw away the bones.
Right. And, you know, bitterness is just, can you pray for that person and can you let it go? It's not that you have to become, you know, fishing buddies or anything again, but just don't allow the bitterness, mm-hmm. To develop in that moment. And you don't always even have to respond, do you?
No. Yeah. Sometimes we respond maybe a little bit, just like we said before, just, you know, hey, this is what I hear you saying. I do care. Do you want to pray? You know, but sometimes you're just like, well, thank you, and walk away, you know, or
right.
I heard what you said. And so you're not committing to, I'm going to change everything because you said that I have to. No, not
right. Entirely. I mean, sometimes it's just the consequences of change. But one of the things that I think has been helpful for me is, you know, are there some things in my own life that I really do need to consider and that I need to change? I mean, you know, sometimes when someone brings you criticism, it is an opportunity to see yourself in a different light and to maybe see yourself in a way that others see you. And I know that sometimes in my ministry, I've maybe come across as just being inflexible about certain things that I think. And maybe there's some truth to the fact that I need to be a better listener. And so that's something that I've really tried to work hard on the last couple of years is listening to people and listening to their thoughts and getting more input on some things so that I have other opinions to go on besides my own.
Yeah, that is, all of us need to do that. And listening is hard, especially when somebody seems critical, but you're right. Listening can change things. And I have seen that most conflict goes away when somebody feels like they've genuinely been listened to. And so, yeah, I think that's so good, Alan. I need to work on being a better listener.
Well, and I think then it gives us an opportunity to thank them for bringing some things to our attention, even if we don't go the whole agree with everything they've said, mm-hmm. to find something that we can agree upon. I think another thing that's important, Trent, is, you know, sometimes you've got to make it easy for some people to leave. Mm-hmm. And I know that's hard. We don't ever want to lose anyone. But sometimes some people, they need to have the freedom to go elsewhere.
Well, and so, Alan, how would you say that to make it easy for them to leave? I mean, in the conversation maybe that's going on, they're pretty amped up. How would you say that to them?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's so much how you say it, and just to, again, if you're loving and you understand them and say, I can understand that maybe the direction our church is going is different than what you've always expected or how you've come to understand us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want you to be happy and blessed and fulfilled in your church life. What will make you fulfilled? And then it gives an opportunity to say, well, you know, so-and-so over here at this church, that's a high value to them, you know, and maybe this is a time where God is saying, I need to move you. And I have had that conversation with a couple of people, and it got easier for me one time. We had a family visit our church who they came in, right as the service started. They saw the drums, they saw the guitars. And the dad pulled his family out and they left. Mm-hmm. And so I followed up with him, and, you know, he said, well, we're just looking for a church that has traditional worship, and we haven't, you know, found one. And actually there wasn't one in our community doing that at the time. And anyhow, I was started to say to him, well, we do some hymns, and there's some weeks where we do a lot of hymns, And he just stopped me in the middle of it. And he says, don't apologize for who you are. I'm not mad at you, but be honest about who you are. And I that has been a really good lesson for me to remember that, you know, as we change and as our churches change and as we lead, part of it just becomes who we are. And some people can't handle the who we are. And we have to get to a place where that's okay. And so you don't try to necessarily give people the idea. And the more people you try to please, the harder it is for people who are not on board to leave. And so don't be apologetic about who you are and the direction that you're moving.
Man, that's so good. I think insecurity causes us to try to apologize, and because we want so badly for everyone to like us, right? And that's just not reality. Not everybody's going to like us. Not everybody's going to like your church. And so that is so good. I'm glad you said that. And we don't need to apologize. If God is leading us to be the way that we are, then we shouldn't feel insecure about that. That's so good.
But I do think it's important to make sure that you're communicating and you get the support from your lay leaders, and that you stay in constant communication, because if your leadership in the church, the people who are around you are not supporting you, and the same would be true in the business sense, you know, make sure that your boss supports you. Make sure that you're having conversations and that you're in a right relationship there. But know that you have support, and really work hard to gain support. And you really do that through time, through consistency, through not changing your mind a lot. And, you know, Trent, I put something in here about guarding your conversations about this person. How hard do you find that sometimes?
It's really hard. And, you know, it's easy for us to talk about other people being coyotes in our lives, but we don't want to be coyotes in somebody else's life too. You know, we don't want to be the one who's known for the yipping and howling out in the pasture and talking bad about people. Even if they've been critical of us, there may be opportunities to keep a relationship down the road, and we don't want to be known as the person who's always talking bad about others.
Absolutely. And that takes a lot of humility. And that's kind of where you kind of began the discussion, just reminding us that, you know, we need to be humble and we need to listen, but we also in that humility don't need to feel pressured. We just need to open up ourselves to being quick to listen and slow to speak, as the Bible
teaches.
That's
a good principle. And so that's, I guess we want to say that again as we end this time, is to be humble, confident. Humble leaders can listen, but they don't feel pressured by a few coyotes howling as loud as they can to change everything. But we always learn. So, but today we appreciate very much the fact that you have spent this time with us. We hope that you've gained a nugget of truth that you can put into your life to help you to endure. We want you and your church or whatever leadership role you're in to be able to last. And if there's any way that we can help you, we want to encourage you to go to enduringchurches.com and fill out some information and get that to us. And we would be glad to visit with you and to consult with you or your church and to help you to endure. But again, thank you for your time today, and God bless you as you do the leadership that you do.
Thank you for spending time with Trent and Alan today. Please share your email with us at enduringchurches.com so we can let you know about our next podcast. Trent and Alan are also available to consult with you and your church. If you have found this podcast helpful, please let your friends know. Remember, churches and leaders that endure have eternal impact.